Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and I'm still on the road, my friends. And I'm having all kinds of ideas today. I don't know why, but I always feel the need to tell you guys what stirs me to do certain shows, especially when I'm on the road and I got nothing but the open road, speed limit signs, license plates, trucks, and the wide open, wilderness in front of me. But my friends, I was just listening to some music, and I'll admit to you guys something that I don't think I've admitted before. I enjoy myself a little bit of anime here and there. Not like the weird weeb crap that a lot of people stereotypically associate with the Japanese cartoon genre. But in general, I enjoy different types of medium of entertainment, media, and etc. And as I'm listening to some of the commentary and some of the songs and whatnot, because I have a certain appreciation for Japanese culture, not just the entertainment culture, but the Japanese history and etc. And I think history is something that you either understand or you repeat, frankly. But I digress. What I want to discuss with you guys is it got me down this train road of hypergamy. Now, my friends, I find it very funny when I, not only is it like Japanese cartoons, but also you look at a lot of stuff on Netflix, Hulu, stuff like that, where there's always a protagonist, right? And the protagonist is usually somebody who goes from being a zero to a hero. They go from being nobody, or they were somebody that they lost it, and then they have to get it back again. And it got me down this train road of hypergamy, because there's always the guy that gets the girl, right? Or a lot of modern ones, it's the girl who gets the lesbian. But in other words, that's not point here. Point is, I was going down this train road of hypergamy, and I thought to myself, there are so many people who don't understand how hypergamy works. They don't understand how it actually extremely benefits men. And a lot of people realize hypergamy exists without even realizing it. They might explain it through microevolution, through eugenics, through the laws of attraction. It could be any number of ways you could explain this. But essentially, I was just going down this train road of these protagonists that I was thinking about in my mind, whether they be cartoons, whether they be historical figures, whether they be, traditional media examples of books, TV shows, movies, you name it. And I thought to myself, people miss out. Like, there's some very apparent, obvious themes that you could see. That, like, oh, and kind of like how they used to do back in the cartoons, like, that I used to watch as a kid, where they say, what did you learn today at the end of the episode? Like Dora the Explorer type of cartoons, where they're like, what was the lesson you learned from this episode type of thing? And I think a lot of people could learn a lot from just consuming entertainment alone, much less real life. Real life is a whole other thing. But even, you could see a lot of red pill talking points within traditional media without even realizing it, because you're looking for it. You pay attention to what they imply, what they're insinuating, and not just explicitly telling you. For example, you look at the guy, more than often than not, it's a guy who is the protagonist, let's be honest. And then more often than not, that guy goes from, like I said, to a zero to a hero. And you think, oh, it's because he went through this journey. He's a nice guy, or he's trying to get over his past, or whatever cliche that people tend to use today, because a lot of publishers, a lot of popular producers in Hollywood and the entertainment industry in general, they tend to reuse old hat ideas. They tend to shy away from things that are too controversial or too original, in my opinion. And so what you do is you see the prince, for example, let's take Disney. The most notorious example of everything that has ruined the relationships today. Well, let's go to the Mickey Mouse. Let's go to the House of Mouse. And let's say, you look at, for example, the prince, right? We could take Aladdin, you could take Prince Charming, you could take Prince Eric, you could take all these guys, right? And you would be forgiven for thinking back in the day that, oh, they got the girl because they were good guys and they cared about them. And they were nice, and they were appreciative, and they went out of their way to be nice and caring and romantic and all these things. And when in reality, that's not actually how it works. women love guys who are romantic and stuff like that. That's true. However, comma, you have to be Chad for them. They want Chad to do that. Who's Chad? The popular, handsome, rich guy. That's who they want to do those things. Then I forget to mention the fact that all those guys were princes. They were royalty. They had status. They had power. They had money. Oh, they left that part out, though. See, here's the thing, guys. I don't care if you watch Japanese cartoons like I do every once in a while, and it's some dude who gets reincarnated and becomes some OP protagonist, or you watch Disney and you think about these Disney princes, or you watch, I don't know what people are watching today, outside of, like, you can even take Harry Potter. I don't care what example. The people who have power are the ones who get the girls, are the ones who get the respect. I know I'm not the only person, and I will not be the last to discuss topics like this, but it was just rolling through my head at rocket speed that people are like, oh, just be a nice, like, let's go back to even examples of how to get money. Would you go to somebody who's broke? Your Uncle Murray, who's broke as a joke, who has no idea how the stock market works. Would you ask him for advice on investments? Probably not. Would you ask some gump husband who's completely henpecked about marriage? Apparently, that's what a lot of people do. That's what a lot of people do. They'll ask their pastor, who's a completely henpecked man. They'll ask their grandpa or their father, who's blue pill as a motherfucker. Then they'll turn around and be like, Austin, what you need to do for a successful and real relationship is treat her nice, do this, do that, and you'll be rewarded. And I sit there and I'm like, oh my God. The people are so naive, man. Naive. And they want to look at me. They'll watch one episode of my show or Andrew Tate or CGA or any of these other guys, Royal Tomasi or whoever. They'll watch one episode of that. And then they'll be like, oh, what's I've heard of me? It sounds sexist. And I'm like, you can't see it, but I'm rubbing my temple right now. It's so annoying because, look, guys, the truth is like good medicine. I've told this multiple times in the show. Throughout my life, which has been relatively short compared to other people, I'll admit, but good medicine tastes lousy. And for some reason, people will do everything in their power to escape taking the one thing that will help cure them of their false reality, to help cure them of their misconceived notions fed to them by people who stand to gain through their ignorance. Over and over again, everywhere I turn, I see it. Telling men to be romantic towards women, telling women to raise the standards on men because some miracle hero Chad guy is out there, and it doesn't matter who she is, she could be an 18-year-old who's a pedigree or a baby mama who's 40 and has three baby daddies, all and three children by different men, and it doesn't matter. They all assume they want this guy, and then the men assume that they're deserving of this woman, and the whole thing is a disgusting mess. And nobody wants to see things for the way that they are. Which is, at the end of the day, you're not going to get 100% of anything that you want in this life, necessarily. And what you need to understand is once you accept that life sucks, it gets easier. Once you accept that hypergamy can be used to your advantage as a man, through sexual transmutation, through utilizing fulfillment over excitement, not broke dating, not getting married, not doing these types of things, and instead focusing on how you can get what you actually want, which is intimacy, don't let anybody fool you, including yourself. Most men, and obviously there are going to be people who want the companionship, but in general, most dudes, they want the sex. In plain English, they want the sex. They want the orgasm from the woman. That's it. That's what they want. and they're willing to put up with the garbage, the BS, and everything else to get that from that woman. And a lot of men have a scarcity mindset that use hypergamy against them. Instead of trying to make themselves better, they're just trying to make the woman not try to upgrade against on them, which is what she's naturally programmed to do via microevolution, via her mother, grandmother, parents, her friends, social media, you name it. And so men, it all, like my friends, it all comes down to being the best option. And I'm sick and tired of people pushing this idea that if you're just a nice guy or if you just find the right one, everything's going to work out for you. No! Where is it written that that's how that works? The same people who will talk to me about how I need to go to church and find a good woman, meanwhile I grew up in the church, and they pretend like they don't want to hear that part. I think it was Eric. Shout out to him, Eric the Red. He's a great, great supporter of the show. He pointed it out in the Torah. The whole idea of pedigree, where back in the old days, you know, when like the law was there instead of just people's feelings, they would actually have to hold people accountable. Use the A word. Yes, I did. Accountability. For example, a woman couldn't just say, I'm deserving of the best guy in my town because I have a vagina. No. No. The man had his choice if he was a high enough status of the different pedigree of women. And that still exists now, by the way. It's just different. But when people want to bring religion in there to hold you and your sexuality hostage as a man, they won't bat an eye at that. But when it comes to holding a woman's sexuality hostage and check, oh no, that's sexism. You can't do that. Gentlemen, all this to say, do what you want. I recommend that you learn this game through experience. I would love it if you could learn it just through listening to me. That'd be great. But a lot of people can't do that. So I think it's important for us to fully understand where we're coming from. And for you to understand for yourself through your own way, through your own lens, which will not be the same as mine. We might share similar ideals. We might have similar thoughts and opinions. But at the end of the day, you're never going to have the same viewpoint as, and I'm never going to have the same viewpoint as you. We can agree on things, which hopefully we do. If not, well, then them's the breaks. But when it comes to hypergamy, understand how it works. Understand how the laws of attraction work. Understand that you as a man must understand how attraction operates, or you're going to be upset, you're going to be angry, and the only thing that's going to happen is frustration, resentment, and false promises being made. And we need to do better than that. Unless, of course, you know, we want to be miserable, which I guess you could be if you want. I don't see why you would want to be miserable, but I mean, go right ahead. I lived my life up until now being miserable. Same people who talk about money can't buy happiness, your house is an asset type of people, which, I mean, there's some kind of certainty for that. But at the end of the day, guys, we need to stop taking old hat advice in the new modern era. We need to understand that we got to be modern men for the modern times. And while it's nice to have ideology of how things should be, shoulda, woulda, coulda type of mentality, that only goes so far. That's only going to get you so far. And more often than not, it's going to drive you insane. And I think it's time that we stop lying to ourselves, especially about women, but also about wealth, about religion, about politics, and we really be really honest with ourselves, and we put our biases aside as much as possible. We look at the raw realities of the world that's staring us directly in the face, and we decide for ourselves if we're right, if we're wrong, or if our viewpoint must be adjusted. I go to the optometrist, or the eye doctor for the layman's term, every so often, and oftentimes my prescription will change because my eyesight changes. In the same way, I think you should go, not to the optometrist per se, but to the philosophometrist. I just made that up. I don't know if that, I might change that later. That's kind of a rough one. But understanding that your philosophical lens might change, and that's okay. but understanding yourself, your proclivities, and challenging them is necessary. Sorry if the road's kind of bumpy right here, guys. I apologize if it sucks. But anyways, I went on that tirade in my mind, and I thought maybe you, the Gentleman of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, would appreciate it. If you didn't, let me know. I know it can be rough to hear this sometimes, but I think it's necessary for us to have this discussion. In different ways, in different formats, it's all important. My friends, take care of yourselves. Challenge your preconceived notions. Always challenge yourself, because that's the only way you're going to find the closest viewpoint to the truth that you can. My friends, take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace out.